Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. The University of Florida is the state's oldest public university. It traces its origins back to the mid-1800s, and its Gainesville campus has been continuously operating since 1906. Last year, it launched a new facet called the Thompson Earth Systems Institute. Its focus is to effectively communicate all of the various research being done at the more than 60 centers, institutes, departments, and other university-related organizations that are dedicated to understanding Florida's air, water, land, and life, and the impacts people are having on all of it. Centered at the Florida Museum of Natural History, it is basically a clearinghouse intended to inform and educate the public, including K-12 students and policymakers, about the ways Earth systems interconnect and interact. Joining me for the rest of the hour is the Institute's first director, Dr. Bruce McFadden. He's also distinguished curator of vertebrate paleontology at the Florida Museum of Natural History and a professor of biology, geological sciences, and Latin American studies at UF. Dr. McFadden, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
And as always, if you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now. The number's 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So what's the original impetus for this institute?
Well, the Thompsons are longtime Floridians, and they're interested in having an institute that can better communicate the kind of research discoveries that are being made by scientists at the University of Florida, but also around the state, with a long-term view of making the knowledge more accessible to the public and Floridians.
So the Thompsons, who I saw live in Fort Myers,
they
which is
do.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they came to the university and said that we'd like to see something like this, or was it something the university had, you know, I can see like there being a meeting going, you know, we've got a lot of balls in the air. We should figure out a way to do this. Like, how did that all cross paths originally?
Yeah, I think it's more a mixing of the vision and the missions that were appropriate and came together, where the museum and the university is a good place where research is being discovered, and the Thompsons were interested in the University of Florida and this new institute to be able to do a better job of aggregating or packaging, harnessing the scientific discoveries of folks at the University of Florida and elsewhere to better understand the future of our state.
Gotcha.
So it was more – I think it was more sort of a meeting of the minds,
mm-hmm.
and sharing a vision and a mission for the future of our state.
Did they have a connection to UF, or did
they did.
Just
– They're both UF alums.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes perfect sense,
sure.
then.
Yeah.
So they're Gators.
They are.
So Earth systems.
Yes.
For the, you know, for the
yep.
Uninitiated, what do we mean?
So Earth system means – the concept of Earth systems means that everything on the Earth is interconnected. So when the polar ice caps melt – you might say, why should somebody living in Miami care about whether the polar ice caps are melting? Well, what's going to happen is the polar ice caps melt and sea level is going to rise, and that's going to impact low-lying areas like in Miami and for that matter, all the coastal communities around Florida. So Earth systems means that there are a series of systems that interact with natural systems that interact with one another on the Earth, and they are air, water, life, and land. You can call them atmosphere, hydrosphere, cryosphere if you want, biosphere, geosphere. But for me, it's just –
Cryosphere. Which one is that?
So cryosphere. Cryos means cold.
Okay.
So when water, the hydrosphere, becomes becomes ice,
oh.
it's water, which was originally part of the hydrosphere. But when it freezes, it becomes the cryosphere. So the polar ice caps – the glaciers and mountains, those are all part of the cryosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Now, we don't have cryosphere in Florida unless it's a particularly cold day in the winter, but cryosphere, the cryosphere on the Earth takes up a considerable part of the water on our planet.
Gotcha. So in a place that goes from summer to winter, that means there's a cryosphere there sometimes?
Yes.
I don't want to go too far down this road, but this is interesting to me. Yeah.
In a sense, the cryosphere is – the permanent cryosphere are the ice caps and mountaintop glaciers. Okay,
gotcha.
And that's sort of the easiest way of looking at it. And we can use those terms, this various spheres, but for me, it's just easier to say air, water, land, and life, and those encompass the various natural systems, all of which interact with one another.
Gotcha. And so then your goal is to take everything that's happening at the University of Florida in researching into these various areas of interest and then communicating that in a way that people who aren't scientists or researchers can understand. Is that sort of the basic gist of it?
Exactly. And I should say that although the core of this institute is at the University of Florida, we also know that we have research partners in other institutions, other universities like your university here that we will want to partner with in the future as we build out this program.
You know, that actually brings up something I was going to mention. I saw on your website something like – let me find the quote here. You know, it's basically saying, hey, you know, hey, anybody out there doing research into any of these, you know, spheres, reach out to us. We want to integrate you. So that is the answer to that question. This is not just UF stuff. This is anybody doing anything in Florida that has to do with these interconnected systems.
We're definitely interested in whoever is doing stuff that research that's related. They can become part of this initiative.
And your target audience then is primarily policymakers, or is it primarily students and the public?
So we have we have four or five target audiences. The first target audience is undergraduate majors at the University of Florida, non-science majors at the University of Florida. And they will not be scientists likely when they finish at the University of Florida, but they're going to go out and be members, productive members of society.
That makes sense, yeah.
And what the Thompson Institute seeks to do is we want them to be impacted for the better about knowledge, about research discoveries that improve the future of our state's natural beauty, Earth systems. So we'd like to target undergraduate non-science majors.
Mm-hmm.
We want to target lifelong learners, anybody of any age who's interested in learning about science.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's me.
Yeah. We want to impact the next generation of Floridians. So mm-hmm. that's K-12 students. And we also want to impact decision makers so that hopefully we can help them to make better informed decisions that that contribute to the future success of our state.
You know, anybody listening to this program at least knows that we have some water issues that we're dealing with in Florida in general and in Southwest Florida in particular.
Right.
There doesn't seem to be any easy answers. There's lots of research happening in this regard. Is that kind of a good example of where you guys are hopefully going to come in and be able to sort of tie some disparate bits of research together in a way that can bring clarity to people listening to this program and, you know, legislators in Tallahassee?
Absolutely. That's certainly one of our goals. And it's not just in this part of the state, but there are issues related to water or sea level rise or other natural systems in Florida that should be of concern to all Floridians. So we're not focusing on any geographic area in the state. We want to basically communicate anything that will improve the quality of our systems in Florida in the future.
What are some of the ways that systems would interact or interconnect in ways that might not be obvious to somebody? Can you think of anything sort of off the top of your head?
Think about hurricanes and major storms,
mm-hmm.
and how the atmosphere impacts the biosphere. So think about the impact on life when hurricanes have a swath through the state and the devastation that the hurricanes going through our state. There is a long-term impact on the biodiversity or the biosphere as part of our state, and most people may not think about that those animals and plants may recover, but that isn't necessarily always the case.
Okay. I'm talking with Dr. Bruce McFadden. He's director of the University of Florida's new Thompson Earth Systems Institute, as well as distinguished curator of vertebrate paleontology at the Florida Museum of Natural History. If you'd like to add your voice to our conversation, give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So I don't know if you can answer this, but I'm going to try. UF has lots of research happening. Can you compare it to other universities in the state of Florida? Is it maybe a leading research institute? Is it one of the leading research institutes? Do you know the answer to that?
Well, that's sort of a leading and difficult question. The University of Florida is a major research institution in the state of Florida, but there are other universities in the state university system that are also doing really good research.
Right. I don't want to have to say if there was a big database that was like, we've got X number of research studies going.
I don't.
Land Grant University.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean exactly? I've heard that forever. I kind of know what it means now. But can you explain – University of Florida is a designated land-grant university and I guess a sea-grant university and an air-grant university now that I've looked into it. To the layperson, what does that mean basically?
In the 1860s, the U.S. government designated a series – they had what was called the Morrill Act.
Okay.
And the Morrill Act designated a series of universities – which at that time was – many of the universities were relatively new, and that those – the support from the Morrill Act for these universities was to promote a land-grant mission to the universities, which meant that there was an important component of the mission of the university to do outreach. For example, extension like IFAS Extension
– exactly.
– relates to the land-grant mission of the University of Florida, which resulted from the Morrill Act.
Gotcha. And so does this institute then in some ways.
It does.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I was digging around on your website and in terms of K through 12 outreach, I found what seems to be a pretty neat little like interactive streaming thing that the kids can do with mosquitoes. And is that going to be one of the ways that you reach out to K through 12 students is through the internet like that?
We're definitely going to try to reach out in that way. We have a project called the Moonshot, which was recently funded.
I was going to ask that next.
And the University of Florida challenged the faculty of our university to develop large proposals, large projects that would be game changers in terms of the future of our state. And the Thompson Institute, we leveraged the Thompson Institute to submit a proposal for what was called a scientist in every Florida school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are 4,200 schools in the state of Florida. There's no way that we can get a physical body into those schools every year. But what we will do is we'll have a combination of actual role model visits from students or scientists going in the classroom. But a lot of this will also be enabled through web conferencing, for example.
Gotcha. When it comes to communicating research to the public, then the politics comes in for an issue like water. It's one thing to convince somebody who isn't a policymaker or a decision maker, but then it's another thing to influence somebody who has a political slant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have a strategy for that in terms of communication strategies?
So my feeling about anything that I teach is that I like to communicate the knowledge and the information, and I like people to make their own decisions about how they choose to understand or use that information.
Gotcha. Real quick, I just saw on your website you have a background in ancient mammalian biodiversity in the neotropics of Panama. What's the short version of that?
The short version of this is for 7 years we collected fossils along the Panama Canal. When the government of Panama was expanding the canal, they were going through fossil-laden sediments and we were out there. We were out in Panama collecting fossils to better understand the kinds of animals that used to live in the ancient tropics 20 million years ago.
Gotcha. And then so real quick, I just have to ask because it caught my eye, what's the space-time paradox and how it relates to the tropical refugium versus cradle of biodiversity hypothesis?
It's the idea that the tropics are a cradle and protect species from becoming extinct more so than if those species live outside the tropics in higher latitudes.
Huh.
That's the concept.
Oh, that's the thing. Well, that and land grant are the things that I learned today.
Well, good
so
for you.
We are basically out of time, but I just want to get to – you're in town because of an event that's happening tomorrow at the IMAG History and Science Center, which is in downtown Fort Myers. Can
Correct.
You just give us the short version of what that is and then I'll
Sure.
explain where and why?
Yeah, it's Florida. The title of it is Florida's Gulf Coast or Florida's Gulf Past, Present, and Future. And it's sponsored by the University of Florida College of Liberal Arts and Sciences alumni group. It's an alumni association event.
Gotcha. And one of the people speaking at it was dubbed by Rolling Stone magazine as one of the 25 people shaping the future.
That's
Is that
right.
correct?
Andrea Dutton, professor of geological sciences at the University of Florida.
Well, you need to tell her that we need to get her on this show.
Okay. I will be sure to do that.
And just so everybody knows, that event is free. It's tomorrow evening starting at 5:30 at IMAG in downtown Fort Myers. I guess there's a speaker presentation after it at 6:30. Any final thoughts?
That sounds great. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing this. We appreciate it. That is all the time we have for today's show. Thanks to my guest, Dr. Bruce McFadden, is director of the university's University of Florida's, that is, New Thompson Earth Systems Institute, and he's distinguished curator of vertebrate paleontology at the Florida Museum of Natural History. Bruce, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike.
And thanks to our earlier guests during our segment about Amendment 4, Neil Voltz from the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition and Kirk Bailey from the ACLU of Florida. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear full episodes on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thank you for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU. FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. Thank you.